right, welcome. It is Bauer Lee on News Radio 930 WBEN. So people do things in public that kind of, don't they gross you out? Seriously. I mean, okay, you feel a sneeze coming on. How much effort is involved in turning around, covering your nose and mouth, and sneezing into the inside of your coat? I'm guessing very little energy. Okay, I have a lot less tolerance for adults who do this than I do for kids who do it. Okay, but you got to tell your kids too. You got to train them right. You don't sneeze over people's crackers. You just don't do it. What else? There's something else I was going to say too. Oh yes, and the coughers and the hackers, and the cell phone people who have the speaker on and you can hear both sides of the conversation drive me absolutely, absolutely crazy. I like to hear one side of the conversation and then imagine what's going on the other side of the conversation. Now, call me a little weird, but I find that almost erotic. Let's go to Neil in Forestville. Neil, you're on WBEN. People engaged in weird behavior. Well, or shall we say behavior that you kind of wonder if they were brought up in a barn?
Well, most of the coffers and hackers are smoking weed, so I don't know if that's like a sickness.
No, I do not believe that the coffers and hackers I encountered today were smoking weed. I think that's a gross characterization of weed smokers.
Well, I agree with you. You know, I think I'm trying to teach my kids to cover up your face and stuff when you're about to sneeze. But I've also noticed people fart at any occasion as well. So I think I should add tutors to your list.
Okay, we're not talking Henry VIII and Henry VII Tudor, T-U-D-O-R. We're talking about farters.
Correct.
Okay. Well, no, I like to make sure that my flatulence references are on the mark. I would rather have somebody crop dust me in a restaurant than sneeze on my food, even though logically it makes no sense, because you might not know this, but I do, because I have studied the subject of farting a lot. From a scientific perspective. Now, first of all, science has established that women do not fart, okay? The hotter the woman, the less likely she is to fart, okay? It does not apply all the way across the board. So that's been established. Even though, I mean, can you imagine? I have custodians tell me all the time, Tom, women's restrooms are worse than men's restrooms, because Paulie Walnuts on The Sopranos did a whole monologue about men's restrooms. You ever notice your finger laces are wet? Why would they be wet? Because you're dragging them through urine. Now, you walk into a woman's bathroom, you could eat maple walnut ice cream out of the toilet. There's some exceptions. But I've been told that Paulie Walnuts' analysis of the female restroom, the female public restroom, is way off. Like, there are some really super gross things that if I get into them in too much detail, I'll probably be fined by the FCC, that I am told. But getting back to it, they've actually done experiments where usually it's a little boy will break wind over a microscopic slide. They'll put the cover slip on top of it. They'll let it grow overnight. And sure enough, gut bacteria can be seen growing in whatever medium they have placed the sample inside. So what I'm trying to tell you is, yes, sneezing on somebody's food is, I think, kind of rude and inconsiderate. I'd rather be crop dusted, because the crop dusting is, it's a billowing cloud effect, usually painted in artistic representations as being green, whereas the sneeze is like a direct assault with a nuclear missile.
Yeah, covering an area like a nuclear blast.
Yes, whereas the flatulent release is more of a hit and miss situation. Depends on wind currents, depends on global warming. I had to work that in. Climate
how
change.
Hard you pull your uncle's finger?
How hard you pull your uncle's finger? This is correct. And some people, I don't know who did this at a function I attended over the past week, but I'm going to tell you that somebody should be extremely proud of. Well, again, it couldn't be a woman. That's scientifically impossible. We've proven this. It had to be a dude. Somebody crop dusted a kitchen somewhere. And I literally walked into the kitchen as an innocent bystander. And the first thing I thought was, there has been nobody in this kitchen in at least a half hour. And yet I smell the clear, unmistakable aroma of Skatol in the air.
Come on, Tom. Come on. The one who smelt it usually dealt it.
No, this is not true. I've got witnesses. I've got corroboration. I was also not the grassy knoll gunman. No, I assure you, I would own up to it. Come on, how long have you been listening to me, Neil? Do you think I wouldn't be proud to call such a heritage of flame my
own? Apparently, I'm glad I'm just listening to you.
Well, I'm just saying that. Crop dusting is, I mean, and then you start asking yourself, okay, am I smelling rotting garbage? Is something wrong with the garbage disposal? And then
you know what's funny though, Tom, is you go back to the nitty gritty of it there, when you were talking about your cancer shows, and then the woman was speaking about the smell of the urine and how that can lead to, you know, a diagnosis of cancers and stuff. You just never know how a topic like this or your other topics that were similar can lead to, you know, helping somebody out.
To what?
To helping somebody out, whether it be by a diagnosis of cancers or just, you know, the disgusting nature of the body and how it reflects to your health.
Well, look, I've got news for you. I've got some breaking news for you on that front. Not breaking news. That makes it sound like Fox News, where every story is breaking news. But by the way, you ever go online and seen the video of Megyn Kelly ripping one?
No.
Well, okay. Since you brought the subject up, now I don't know if this was an overdub. I don't know if it was edited. But if you go online and you look up Megyn Kelly fart, supposedly, and I find this very hard to believe unless Megyn Kelly is a man in real, wouldn't that be a boot in real life? But I'm telling you, there are people with the ability to, and I'm kind of envious of this, because whoever let this one loose, whoever unloosed the lion in this particular kitchen, was able to do it so stealthily. It was like a World War I trench raider. I mean, I'm just saying. I'd be honored if that person would at least call and claim responsibility.
I can just hear him. It was me, Tom.
Yeah, yeah. But do you understand where I'm coming from when I talk about people sneezing? Like, okay, grown-ups sneezing. Like, I'm so, you know what? You can hear it in my voice. I'm still aggravated today that this guy waits until he's right by our table, and he sneezes facing our table when our food had just been delivered. WTF, mate.
That was one of the nice things about the whole COVID restrictions and the 6 feet space, and everybody seemed to be hyper vigilant against spreading of disease, and now it's gone back to the dark ages, I believe.
Well, dark ages, nebulous ages in the case of flatulence. But no, when you have something propelled onto your food, and you know what? It was just, I'm not the most sensitive guy in the world, okay? I mean, I'm the guy who saw a bug crawling through his French fries and quietly asked to see the manager and showed the manager, Yeah, French fries aren't supposed to move, are they? Yeah, well, these are moving. Let me show you why. And let's just be really discreet about this so you don't lose any customers out of this. And they were super, super cool. Obviously, they didn't charge me for it. Should have given me a freebie, but that's another story for a future use. But, you know, I'm not like the most sensitive guy in the world. Like anybody, I've had my share of hair and food. Now, you want to talk about gross things. And there's hair and there's hair. And you all know the kind of hair that you can find in food. And the only conceivable way that kind of hair, if anybody has any left, that kind of hair makes it into your food is by intent. There's no way those things are going to crawl up your belly, down your arm, onto your fingers, and into the burrito. It's not going to happen.
Well, I have a mustache.
Unless the lice carried it, like ants, like cutting ants with a leaf.
Well, see, Tom, I've got a mustache right at this very point, and it seems like I'm always chewing on a chunk of hair coming from my mustache, and it catches every booger that flies through the nasal.
Dude, you gotta be careful with mustaches. Yeah, you got to be really mustaches.
Tom, it's the only time my face has ever gotten a compliment.
With a mustache or with boogers in the mustache?
The first one.
Okay, well, good. Congratulations. I mean, okay, I have to ask you, what kind of a mustache is it? Have you noticed watching the NHL that the slapshot mustaches are back in vogue?
That's the kind the ladies want to ride, Tom.
Okay, I don't know what that means. I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that. But the slapshot mustaches are back in vogue. Everything comes back again. Watch Slapshot, the movie, Paul Newman, circa 1976, 77. Watch that movie, and they had a certain, who was it, Dennis Marouk. Let me just make sure I'm giving you the right reference, of the Washington Capitals. Was it Dennis? That was a prototypical NHL circa 1970s mustache. I have to look this up. I have to look this up. Hold on here. Okay, people should not be texting me with this stuff. Dennis Marouk. Okay, hold on. Always got to be a typo. I can never do my fingers and talk at the same time. Yep, Dennis Marouk. There he is. Yep, it's the fourth picture in. That mustache is coming back. Watch the NHL.
Well, it's entertainment for me. It brought a smile and a laugh to my dying father-in-law's face. So,
your mustache or my references to flatulence, et cetera?
My mustache. Definitely my mustache.
Okay, well, I'm happy. The only thing is, well, how old are you, Neil?
I'm old enough to know better, but still dumb enough to answer.
Okay.
I'll be 47 this year.
Okay, well, that's 47 is a good age for a mustache. The Van Dyke beard, which has nothing to do with any sexual preference or description of anybody. The Van Dyke beard, usually misnomered as the Van Dyke, if I could talk, I'd be dangerous. If I could think, I'd be dangerous. As the goatee, that is, I don't know if that's dying. But I have noticed more Dennis Marouk, M-A-R-U-K. Folks, if you're at home, you're by a computer, or if you're driving and you're bored and you're on the thruway doing 80 miles an hour, just look up a picture. I'm kidding about that. Look up a picture when you get a chance safely to do it of Dennis Marouk, M-A-R-U-K. Four pictures in the Google search. You will see a 1970s mustache that every NHL hockey player wore with pride. I thank you for the call. I guess you're done.
Yeah.
I mean, all right. After,
I do enjoy it.
I'm glad you enjoyed the mustache. And what we need to do, Neil, is find you a woman with a mustache that matches.
I have a funny story about that. If you got a couple minutes.
We're not going to go what I thought you were going to go down before, are we?
No, I had an eyebrow hair that was growing out crazy, right? And my wife, she didn't approve of it, and I kept it because she didn't approve of it. So one night I woke up, and then it was miraculously disappeared from my eyebrows, and it was quite quite noticeable. And I just, forgot about it, and she had asked me a few weeks later, and I knew she plucked it. And she had asked me, she's like, "Oh, where's," because we had named it. It had a name called Harold.
Oh, you named an errant eyebrow hair.
Well, it was quite unique. And anyways, I do believe she plucked it. She won't say it to this day, but weeks later, she had mentioned it all coy, like, "Oh, where's Harold?" And she had had a small, like whisker growing on her lip. And I'm like, "I don't know, but I think I know where he is now."
Oh, okay. Making fun of a woman's facial hair. I'm sorry?
I said just like my grandma's.
Look, I'm not gonna tell you that I've got all the answers when it comes to women, because I sure as hell don't. But I will tell you one thing that is a universal. Typically, 99.999% of women who identify as women get very upset about facial hair, in particular when they're going through menopause, which should be called womenopause. Menopause makes no sense.
Yeah, it's mental pause.
Yeah. I mean, we got to change the language. I don't know why, but I was thinking about it over the weekend, probably because so many women I know are going through menopause or have been through menopause, and I started to think, wait a minute, if I call my situation manopause, how come women are calling theirs menopause when it should be womenopause? That makes more sense. Makes a lot more sense. And I'm glad that Harold... Okay, look, I wish my wife would trim my ear hair late at night. She has, if I grow my hair long again, she has threatened to snip it off, and I'm not so sure she's talking about the long hair. Thanks very much. I appreciate the...
Happy New Year's, brother.
Well, hopefully you'll call again before New Year's. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. The crop dusters are... look, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be gratuitously disgusting here, but the crop duster, if you can crop dust and get away with it, and you're crop dusting leaves a... fingerprint of its existence for like 15 minutes. I think that's something of which to be very, very proud. I don't know. I'm a little bit sick. Like you couldn't have figured that out. Oh, excellent.
A feeling deep inside. Oh, yeah.
I cranked up the stereo last week. Yeah. Did I say stereo? Sound system. And streamed it through my phone. And yeah, I know you guys. Oh, the phone sound quality isn't that great. I agree. I totally agree. I get it. But given a choice between Beatles rooftop concert and no Beatles rooftop concert, I'm going to take the Beatles rooftop concert, even if the sound isn't that great. And you know something else, too? Not that you care, but... Look, it's between Christmas and New Year's, so you're going to get a lot of weird stuff on the show this week. I promise you that, because it's in, I call this a slow talk radio week. Yeah, watch, something big will happen. I hope, well, if it does, we're here to help you get through it at News Radio 930 WBEN. But anyway, so the Beatles song Now and Then has kind of grown on me. Because when it first came out, remember we had the discussion and I said, it's not an A side. I don't even think it's a B side. Okay, I don't know about you, but I've changed my mind on the final Beatles song and I kind of like it. And maybe it's the fact that I've had a chance to listen to it more, but I kind of like it. And I only wish that, obviously John Lennon had been around in real life. I wish George Harrison had been around, because I'd like to know his guitar parts versus Paul McCartney's guitar parts. And all I could think of was typical Paul McCartney. He's got to take something that George did and think he's improving on it because he is Paul McCartney. And, you know, it's just, well, one thing is for sure. There will not be a Beatles reunion, well, at least not on this earth. But anyway, I'm sorry. I was trying to keep this show on a high level, but that's somebody who was where I was. Somebody who was where I was with the crop dusting situation had the audacity to text me. I'm not going to tell you from whom this came, but Tom, was it at your brother's when I went to get my shoes in the dining room? I almost died. I thought it was you, though. LOL. No, I would be proud to call that my own, because that, I'm telling you something. If you can crop dust and have it linger like a World War I mustard shell, like World War I chemical ordnance, that's something I think of which to be proud. And the fact that it's a mystery now makes it all, I mean, there were only three males in that place, and it was it was not I. And now I'm getting paranormal with it. See, now I'm thinking, I know where everybody was when this thing would have been dropped, when this egg would have been laid. I know where everybody was, and I've got an explanation. It's a paranormal explanation, I think, and don't laugh. I think it was my brother Billy stopping by to say hello. I'm thinking of every other explanation. When you know where everybody is for 15, 20 minutes, and you walk into a room, and it's clear that somebody has bombarded that room with a chemical weapon of, well, like that they said Saddam Hussein had, but he never did, but people made a lot of money off the war. So when you walk into a room and you smell, what you, when you smell something like that, That's something. It's almost, frankly, it's almost mystical. I mean, it really is. It's almost mystical. But and I'll tell you, one of the embarrassing things is, this is kind of like family Christmas at my house. So kind of letting you into the scenario here, but okay. I think, you know what? I mean, we're all adults here, except the host, apparently. But there was one year prior to Christmas Eve where I had Indian food. And this is before I knew that I was lactose intolerant. And all I can say is it's been like 20 years and it's still legendary. And to hear my brother talking about it, I woke up the next That was a bad night for them. It was a great night for me. It was a bad night for them. But this leaves the mystery of the phantom farter. And the only logical explanation, my dead brother. Because, believe me, it smelled like death. It smelled like the kind of house where in Florida in July, they find somebody who'd been there for about 5 months, and there ain't nothing you're going to do with that house except tear it down and build a new one, okay? I don't care how good the cleanup crew is. That smell don't go away. Not like that. But anyway, I'm glad we could keep this show on a very high intellectual level. And it's got to – look, I mean, I'm thinking to myself, here I am with my junior high school mentality. There have got to be people listening in senior living apartments who are thinking to themselves, yeah, that Fred down the hallway, he's like that too. He's horrible. I don't like to be around him. And it was actually a joke on HBO's Deadwood between Richardson and – oh, my God – and the cook talking about Harry Manning's flatulent problem. Harry Manning did not work out too well in the movie, the Deadwood movie. But I don't know. I guess every family has its holiday memories, and ours are clearly of a holy and sanctimonious nature. And I'm glad that you could take a walk down soul-saving lane with me on that front. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry. That's just plain. To me, it's funny. It's funny. Because nobody, you know, there's got to be a show in this week, but I got to be really careful how I do it because I was going to say the FBI. It wouldn't surprise me. But FCC will come cracking down, which is, again, really, really ridiculous. But, I mean, as long as it's kept on a high medical and intellectual plane, there is no reason why we shouldn't be able to do it. Sorry. This show started off with me being very upset about a computer issue, and now I can't get my composure because I'm realizing that at one of the functions I attended over the weekend, there was the most foul and pungent aroma I've ever smelled, and I'm telling you, everybody was in the same room for an extended period of time. We're talking 15, 20 minutes. And I walk into the room, and it was like, you ever have that feeling of walking into a wall? Okay, that's the feeling that I had. And everybody, all right, I'll get off this subject in just a moment here. But everybody, I've told this story before, so I don't think I'm going to get in trouble for it this time. You guys remember the old Buffalo War Memorial Auditorium? Okay, the old odd, you would walk to your section using ramps, and there were walls between the ramps, and you'd walk, leaving the game, you'd walk down the ramp, you'd turn a corner, nobody could see you, you'd turn another corner, nobody could see you. I will never forget. Talk about good old family memories. You didn't see this on Leave It to Beaver, did you? Or Ozzie and Harriet. One night, my father was clearly having some gastrointestinal issues. He just says, whatever you do, Tom, whatever you do, don't laugh. Don't give it away. And what I heard was probably similar to the last thing the people at Nagasaki heard. All right. And I'm like, good Lord. The acoustics of those ramps, number one, did not lend themselves to an echo-free environment. So the old man, again, clearly ate something which did not agree with him, but he did it just as we turned the corner, and then we turned another corner, and the crowd of people behind us, you could hear moans and groans. Everybody knew that somebody up ahead had cropped us at them. But nobody knew who. And my father and I are biting our lips. And we are like, I don't think I've ever seen my father so happy in his life. Pitigate have gotten away with that. And it's so funny because you know, you think of your parents as almost like these godlike, mythical figures, right? But then he pulls a stunt like that, and it just humanized him so much. He went up in my esteem so many notches after pulling that one off. And the whole key was keeping a straight face. And if you hear, if you can hear the emotion and the laughter in my voice right now that I can't even contain, you can imagine, you know, 40, 50 years ago, you can imagine how much funnier it was then. I'm a grown man of 60 years old. I should not be laughing like this over something that happened that long ago that caused people behind my father and me such horrible, probably life-changing misery. I mean, you know, think about these ads for the attorneys on the radio and on TV. There's probably some poor guy got some horrible sickness from that, has no idea. Oh, my goodness. All right. I will compose myself. Thanks a lot, Neil from Forestville, for getting us started down that road. There is a book. There is a book. And I'll leave this subject alone, but I believe that you need to be intellectually vitalized this period between Christmas and New Year's. And there is a book. It is called Who Cut the Cheese? A Cultural History of the Fart. It's a legitimate book. It's in the Library of Congress and everything. Who Cut the Cheese? I think the guy's name was Dawson who wrote it. The mere fact that I can remember that is kind of disturbing to me, but it is one of the funniest books I have ever read in my life. Out of all of the books I have given away over the past several years, that book will never, ever leave my hands. It is seriously one of the funniest things I've ever laid my eyes on. It's at an intellectual level what John Valby is to the perhaps people who aren't so hoity-toity, whatever. In fact, I just realized during the traffic report, that's probably why they had to tear the auditorium down. Had nothing to do with it being an outdated rink from the 1930s and 40s. Had everything to do with the fact that they probably thought somebody died in the wall or somebody had been buried there during construction. And the irony of that whole story, the irony is my dad was instrumental in raising the roof of the old auditorium in Buffalo. The business for which he worked got a contract, and my father was in the erection business. And I'm serious. He worked for a company, Erectors and Haulers. So I can legitimately say, without worry about being fined, my dad was in the erection business, and he helped to erect the higher walls and more orange seats in the old auditorium. And now you know the rest of the story. So kind of ironic that he raised a stink after raising the walls. But yeah, the mystical explanation. Geez, I keep wanting to walk away from this topic gently. After crop dusting you with it, I keep wanting to walk away, but I'm thinking to myself, you know what? There are stranger things. There is more in heaven and earth, Horatio, than is dreamt of in your philosophy. Who could possibly weave Shakespeare into this kind of a discussion? But maybe it was my dead brother come back to wish us a Merry Christmas as only he could do. Now, we talked about things that... talking about things that you guys talked about with your family over the Christmas holidays. And I told you about some things that kind of grossed me out, okay? A kid sneezing at a restaurant. A grown-up sneezing at a restaurant. A guy hacking his lungs out at a restaurant. How come everything involves a restaurant? Oh, I'm sorry. I don't really do a lot of cooking. That's why. And it got me to thinking about the conversations that you had over Christmas with the people that you love. And, you know, you put some alcohol into certain people, and you're going to hear them espouse theories that you didn't think any person could possibly hold. Now, you happen to know, if you're a regular listener to the show, I have no problem telling you that I absolutely, positively do not believe Lee Harvey Oswald shot President Kennedy. I think he was a patsy. He was a fall guy. It's pretty obvious based on his record. Lee Oswald was working for American intelligence. They could have told him anything on November 22nd, 63, that they were going to stop the plot, that he was going to be the guy who would get credit for busting up the plot. And it's interesting that when President Kennedy was in Chicago shortly before he went to Dallas, the FBI, Chicago PD and the FBI made arrests of a bunch of Cubans with missiles with sights on them. And you know who the tipster was? The CI was a guy by the name of Lee. I couldn't make this up if I wanted to. And then a Secret Service agent, the first African-American Secret Service agent on White House detail, was a guy named Abraham Bolden, and he came forward with the story, and for his reward, your lovely government punished him by railroading him on counterfeiting charges. He was eventually pardoned, and rightfully so, because the guy was innocent. They just wanted to shut him up, and he had a lot of light on him, so they couldn't whack him. Of course, they could have given him the Jack Ruby month-long cancer death, but he was spared that. Okay, now, coming up on the show, I want to talk about what you guys talked about, and the weirder, the better, on your Christmas Eve or Christmas Day vacation. And obviously, you know, I had a great time being off. You've got to take PTO. You got to take time off. But there's something magical. As much as I missed being on the radio all Christmas weekend, as much as I may have missed that, I more than made up with it by having a lot of fun at various places that had the pleasure of having me as their company. On News Radio 930 WBEN. Oh, wait a minute. No. I just got a text. Hey, if that had been me, don't you think it would have been more than in one place? No, something that is that good, you spread the joy on that one. You don't just leave it in one place. I rest my case. That's Exhibit A on News Radio 930 WBEN.